Yes, Mayo, indeed. And friends, you're very welcome. Okay, I suppose I should play the theme, no? Just to let you know that you are, friends, listening to the Flannelly Show, and we're coming to you live from New York City. And, friends, it's nice. We had a couple of roasting days here. 90 degrees. 90. Like the middle of summer. Of course, now it's going to settle down a little bit. And, yes, of course, we could, we'll adjust, you know. We, friends, are coming to you again. From the capital of the world. Pope said that one time. Okay. Yes, New York. And we're going to be with you for the next couple of hours, and we hope that you can spend that time with us. Would it be the height of bad manners for me, being a male man, actually being a Ballina man, to perhaps take ourselves back to Mayo. Because only a few hours ago, the President of the United States, Joe Biden, whose great-great-great-grandfather came from Ballina, Joe Biden yesterday on the, to wrap up his 4-day trip in Ireland, landed to great applause in Ballina, County Mayo, yesterday evening. 27,000 people turned out. To welcome Joe Biden home. All right, let's see if we can get a little bit of that kind of reception here.
Welcome, as son of Ballina and the 46th President of the United States, Joe Biden.
All right, friends, it was to have the President of the United States, Joe Biden, to have him during his visit to Ireland. You know, President Joe Biden spoke in Northern Ireland on Wednesday to commemorate the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. He addressed the Dáil, the Irish Parliament in Dublin, and visited his ancestral homes in Carlingford, in County Louth, and indeed, with all due modesty, let me point out that he wrapped up his trip in Ballina, my hometown, in County Mayo, where again, he made his remarks at the foot of St. Murdoch's Cathedral in Ballina. We're going to bring you that later on. Friends, we're going to link with Brian O'Dwyer, the American lawyer, the activist, and Irish-American community leader. you know, Brian serves as chairman, among his other jobs. He serves as chairman of Ireland West Airport in Knock County, Mayo, where President Joe Biden arrived yesterday and visited Knock Shrine. Brian will join us from Mayo. We will also have live news and sports from Ireland with newscaster and author Kevin O'Connor. And this might be a good time to mention that we have a very special guest coming up shortly. She is Sister Magdalena Fitzgibbons. And she's been a member of the Benedictine community at Kylemore Abbey for over 50 years. And Kylemore Abbey is a Benedictine monastery, an iconic visitor attraction, and it's set in 1,000 acres of mountainside in Connemara, County Galway, in Ireland. The Benedictine nuns welcome thousands of pilgrims and visitors to the abbey annually. Now, there's a U.S. fundraising event coming up, but first of all, I wanted to let you know that the founder of the U.S. Friends of Kylemore Abbey is himself, indeed, comes from Mayo lineage, from Oxford, actually, in Mayo. He is the Dean Emeritus of Fordham University. His name is John Feerick. And back in 2016, he got U.S. friends, a lot of his friends, and roped the rest of us into, you know, to get a and to build a new monastery in Kylemore, at Kylemore Abbey on the grounds. And on May 10th, coming up, friends, the U.S. Friends of Kylemore will host the third annual Spirit of Kylemore Awards. The benefit is going to take place here in New York City, honoring Timothy Cardinal Dolan of the Archdiocese of New York, Christine McGinnis, who is co-managing partner of Aaron Fox and Shill in New York, Aaron Fox, no, I'll get that eventually, give it another try later on in the program. And with humility, and God knows I'm sometimes not accused of humility, but I am actually the third recipient, or will be, of the Spirit of Kylemore Award. Now, imagine, I'd say I should be, you know, when the awards are given out there, I'd be rubbing elbows with Cardinal Dolan and, of course, Christine McGinnis. But anyway, you have to, if you would like to, visit the American, the Irish American Partnership website, and that's, you get that more information, friends, as the program goes on. We, friends, are indeed delighted to be with you. And again, the best way to reach us during the program, or for that matter, any time, is to send an email to Aine, A-I-N-E, at irishradio.com. That's Aine Sheridan. And, of course, friends, Aine Sheridan from Longford, we have to assume that President Biden had to fly over Longford on his way to Ballina and to Knock, Knock Shrine, yesterday. I think actually we might leave that one alone. But he did, friends, he did have as the warm-up for his appearance in Ballina County Mayo, a group that has played in the White House. They welcomed him as vice president in Ireland when he was vice president. But, okay, so let's take a little bit of soundtrack here. From the Chieftains, the Flannelly Show from New York. Jorge, you're welcome. You know, President Biden started off his we won't call it a tour, but his presidential visit to Ireland in Belfast. And again, that was to commemorate the Good Friday Agreement. And, well, okay, so I suppose in fairness we should play at least some of the Belfast song, which goes like this.
Of the east end of town, on the foot of the hill, with a chimney so tall, it's the Belfast Mill. The snow's so good all coming down out of town, the pass to the town. Never coming back. And the only tune I hear is the sound of the wind. She blows through the town, wheels and spins, wheels and spins. And the last set of sounds was the only life I knew. Where will I go now? What will I do? And the only tune I hear is the sound of the wind. She blows through the town, wheels and spins, wheels and spins. But I'm too old to work, and I'm too young to die. Where will I go now with family and I? And the only tune I hear is the sound of the wind. She blows through the town, wheels and spins, wheels and spins. Hey!
Oh, the Kilkennys, they're the name of the group, and of course the song, The Belfast Mill. And then the president from Belfast came down to Dublin, and I'm sure he must have heard this song a few times in his life, as the rest of us
have done. Dublin's fair city, where the girls are so pretty, I first set my eyes on sweet Molly Malone, as she wheels her wheelbarrow to streets wide and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh.
Alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh. Crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh.
She was a fishmonger, and truth was no wonder, for so was her father and mother before. And he wheeled their wheelbarrow, his feet wide and narrow, like cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh,
alive, alive, oh.
And France, we will continue with indeed our music, and coming up shortly we'll have Sister Magdalena from Magdalena Fitzgibbon, don't forget, who we'll catch up with at Kylemore Abbey in Connemara, in County Galway. But I want to let you know, first of all, friends, that our programs, the primary sponsor of our programs, are Tourism Ireland, and have been for decades. You know, what fills your heart about Ireland? Speak to anyone who has been there, and you'll have something special to say. It's all about people. Ireland is not just a destination. No, you know, it's... sure, there's incredible history in Ireland, staggeringly beautiful landscapes, buzzing towns and villages, but what makes a trip to Ireland, to the island of Ireland, so special is the people you meet along the way. Ireland is famous for its Cade Míle Fáilte, the 100,000 welcomes, from the chat and the... you know, on the bar and cozy pubs and not so cozy pubs, to the hellos you'll get on walking trails around the island. Friendliness is woven into the fabric of the Irish culture, and it's time to let Ireland and its people welcome us. Yeah, which they would do anyway, but a great particular welcome this year. So, friends, why not log on to Ireland.com, Tourism Ireland's website? I can guarantee you that you know, you are going to be very well, not surprised, but you have mountains of information there. Yeah, you're thinking about going. Come on, I'm sure. In addition to what's on your bucket list, you'll find a lot of information on, you know, on the website of Tourism Ireland. Just log on to Mayo, not Mayo. Well, I have Mayo on my mind. Stop sniggering there on your shirt. Ireland.com. Okay, listen, never mind. It might be Mayo.com. After this, one of the finest places in Ireland. But anyway, I digress, which is my specialty on this program here. So, friends, it is Ireland.com. That's Ireland.com. Log on, you'll see what I mean. Okay. Well, from Dublin, as you might expect from the presidential trip, he went to County Louth, to Carlingford, hence kick from Dundalk. And here's a farewell to Carlingford by the Irish Rovers.
When I was young and in my prime, and should wander wild and free, there was always a longing in my heart to follow the call of the sea.
So I sing farewell to Carlingford, and farewell to Greenore. I think of you both day and night, until I return once more.
one, friends, one of the great beauty spots in Ireland, apart from Mayo, is the neighbouring county, of Galway. And indeed, we are going to head over there very shortly. But in the meantime, I would like to take, you know, a song that would, let me see. Oh, here's a song, appropriate enough, before we head over to Galway. Andy Cooney.
If you ever go across the sea to Ireland, then maybe at the closing of your day, you will sit and watch the moon rise over Clara, and watch the sun go down on Galway Bay, just to hear again the ripple of the trout stream, the women in the meadows making hay, or to sit beside a turf fire in a cabin and watch the barefoot children at their play. All the breezes blowing o'er the seas from Ireland are perfumed by the heather as they blow, and the women in the uplands digging crates speak a language that the strangers do not know. Now the strangers came, they tried to teach us their way, they scorned us for being what we are, or they might as well go chasing after moonbeams, or light a penny candle from a star. And if there's going to be a light hereafter, land across the Irish Sea.
Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA, irishradio.com worldwide, and indeed we are very, very happy indeed to head over to Kilmore Abbey in beautiful Connemara in County Galway and greet and welcome, you know, Sister Magdalena and Sister, first of all, you're very welcome to the program.
Thank you, Adrian. Lovely, lovely to talk to you.
And also, Sister, we'll have to get this one out of the way because we know that you're from Cork, bred and buttered in County Cork. What part of Cork, Sister?
In North Cork, in the Fermoy region.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Okay. And having been, you know, a Benedictine sister in 50 years, I'm sure, for more than 50 years, I'm sure you'd be able to tell us how many of those years were you stationed, as it were, in Kilmore Abbey.
Yes, for all my life since I entered, we take a vow of stability and we stay in the one place for life. And we travel rarely, just when it is necessary. Mm-hmm.
Just to get a little history of the Benedictine order and Benedictine sisters, can you bring us back to a time when, believe me, you didn't have much choice in, you know, in leaving Belgium. But if you wouldn't mind, if you start there, sister.
Yes, we were known as the Irish James of Ypres, and we go back to 1665 in Ypres. And then, of course, and these were nuns who lived the monastic way of life, the contemplative way of life. And then they had an outreach of education within the monastery, essentially for the daughters of Irish nobility exiled from Ireland during the religious persecution. And they continued that particular type of education here and restarted education here when they came to Ireland again later. But they had to flee, of course, during when the monastery was shelled in Ypres. And they fled to England for a little while to another monastery, Olton Abbey in Staffordshire. And then later they were able to come to Ireland again, and they came to Wexford, to MacMining County Wexford. Again, they re-established their school there and lived their monastic way of life. And the number of nuns grew and grew, and so did the school. And then, of course, that place wasn't large enough for them. That was Merton House, and the nuns lived in the castle. So then Kilmore Castle was up for sale, and then they bought Kilmore Castle, and they arrived here in 1920, just over 100 years ago now. And then they set up the school in 1923, which is 100 years this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an amazing history there. You know, in we were all looking forward to, and I'm sure you and the sisters looking forward, it's a celebrating the centenary in 2020. But as we know, that was you know, the pandemic set in, and what was your plan of action, and what actually did you have to do at that time? In terms, did you have to move? Did you have to close down the visitors, you know, access to the Abbey? Can you tell us about that?
Yes, it was very sad for us. Actually, at that particular time, we closed the Abbey, and it was closed for about a year and a half, essentially. And, of course, we were living then across the way in the old farmhouse and in other locations across the estate. And then we wondered, sadly for us, if the monastery would ever... We had just started building the monastery, and the foundations had been laid, and we just wondered if we would be able to ever restart the building of the monastery. And happily, when the pandemic was over, well, then we've been lucky, and we've been able to begin again more recently, probably in just about January of this year. Mm-hmm.
And what is now, can you describe the monastery and where actually is it going to be located?
It is located as you come into the driveway and just go up the first turn. Well, it's just really ahead of you on the left there. So it's a nice site. And I think it will fit in well with the character of Kilmore, the area that's around it. It will be a quiet, contemplative space. It will allow the nuns to pray quietly and yet share their prayer in an outgoing reach to all the people who come and visit. It's a perfect place where the ethos of Kilmore will extend throughout the estate. And I think it is a very, very nice particular area just before you come to the visitor centre. That's where it is sited.
I think that, you know, most tourists to Ireland you know, particularly from North America, that is more often than not on the bucket list of places to visit and to experience. First of all, Connemara is a jewel, you know, of the west of Ireland, and I have to say that as a mailman, that hurts a little bit, but it is considered to be just an amazing a place to visit, to spend a day in. You know, you have everything there, not only, you know, the experience itself, but that Connemara in County Galway, without a doubt, is indeed fabulous. It's generally rugged place. But to visit Kylemore, sometimes referred to as Kylemore Castle, that is a very special experience. And indeed, it is again much hailed and publicized, you know, by tour directors, and you know, it is great, and this is a wonderful really place to visit. Now, one of the attractions, Sister Magdalena, is the walled garden. Can you tell us a little bit about, again, the walled garden? Was it there 100 years ago? Was that something that was developed by the Benedictine sisters?
No, in fact, it was developed by Mitchell Henry, and that was a creation of his. And it needed a restoration. After the Henry family had been here, well, then the Duke of Manchester came, and then in between it began to fall into some disrepair, and it wasn't tended to in the way one would tend to these lovely gardens, those Victorian gardens. So then we had the inspiration and a dream, really. We always wanted to restore this lovely, lovely, vast garden, some six acres. And we set about doing it, in 1965. And then it was opened to the public in the year 2000. So it has been brought a great sense of joy and wonder and pleasure and peace and healing and all that in the lovely setting that it is in as well. Magnificent environment, unspoiled, in the midst of God's creation. It is a very inspiring place, you know. A sense of rejuvenation there, of contemplation, I suppose one would say, you know, a unity, yes, of purpose. And, you know, great diversity. And, you know, it's about God's love and nature's beauty for me, for the nuns. And that encouraged us, you know, to restore the garden before it was irretrievably lost. Because if the walls came down, well, then it probably would never be restored. And we did want to honor the heritage that was ours, that was given to us by Mitchell Henry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually, it's give or take about 6 acres of Victorian wall gardens. Again, obviously the garden, the buildings, flowers, vegetables, herbs, it is fantastic. Now, one might imagine that through the decades that there must be, you know, numerous gardeners, but the truth of the matter is that the sisters, the Benedictine sisters themselves, and obviously including you as abbess for 6 years, it was a working garden, something that indeed provided food and sustenance for the sisters, as well as many of the less fortunate in the area. And tell us a little bit about that. In 2006, I believe it was, that again it required even more restoration. Bring us to that.
In fact, it was 1996 when we began, and then we opened it in 2000, actually. But again, we go back to the Benedictine precepts of Ora et Labora, and let us pray and work. And then, of course, we had this vision, and, you know, based on our values here of stewardship and hospitality and sense of community, we were very happy to restore this garden. And, you know, in terms of visitor numbers coming here now, you know, enjoying the garden, enjoying Kyle Moore for its wonder and beauty and peace above all else. All these visitors come and they can, you know, they can enjoy the Victorian Wall Garden. Again, the Neo-Gothic church, which was restored a little earlier than that. And then, of course, the nuns with their prayer life here. It is different from most places in that sense, that the nuns live, that it is a lived heritage site, and that's rather interesting for people as well, to meet the nuns on occasion and to join us, as will be much more possible for us when we will have the new monastery in that particular space, which will be wonderful. Of course, they see us and with our crafts, the artisan crafts, and that is an enterprise into itself, you know, soap making, yes. You know, artisan foods and thriving chocolate and all that studio and so on. And then we have this education of, again, of music education now, and we have this partnership with Notre Dame University as well, the Notre Dame Kyle Moore Abbey Global Center. So Kyle Moore is growing and growing, and yet it is a great place of peace, of prayer, of wonder. And I suppose I often think, and you asked me earlier about people coming to Kyle Moore, and I think people come to us and they travel to us. We remain where we are, and we go out to them through our life of prayer and contemplation. And we were talking in the community recently about the number, the vast number of people who write to us for prayer more than ever before. It is quite interesting, but it is our privilege and our honor to pray for all these people and for the world.
And again, there are so many people who, in fact, have learned and become benefactors, supporting Kyle Moore, Kyle Moore Abbey, friends, and that brings me to, indeed, to advising those who have not heard my several conversations with Dean John Feerick, Dean Emeritus of Fordham Law School. He and Jim Tolan and Brian Rudder, of course, with many others, started a North American organization, Friends of Kyle Moore Abbey. And I think that you couldn't pick better founders because, you know, we were all here minding our own business, and then John Feerick in particular started whipping us all into shape here, and it became, in a very short few years, it has become, and it is growing, indeed, the supporters of Kyle Moore Abbey. And I think everybody that we know on our side of the Atlantic here, we want to have a part, in contributing to the new monastery. It's just amazing, and it brings us all closer, of course, to home as well.
Yes, well, thank you very much for that, Adrian. We are very pleased with our board of advisors in New York, headed by, of course, Dean John Feerick, and he's been a wonderful friend for all those years, and he has remained with us, and please God, he will see the monastery built within the next year or so, and that will give him joy and give us great joy. We will be together as a community at Kyle Moore.
Sister Magdalena, I want to you know, talk about, and I'm kind of blushing here, actually, which is all right, I suppose, on radio, but the Spirit of Kyle Moore Awards. This is the third year of the Spirit of Kyle Moore Awards, held here in New York City. And I am more than honored, of course, to be selected, particularly in, you know, the in as an old soul ran with Cardinal Timothy Dolan here in the Archdiocese of New York. I think that when you have honorees such as Cardinal Timothy Dolan and Christine McGuinness, I don't know how I slipped under the wire there, sister, but I must say that I'm very proud and indeed happy to be a recipient. It's going to take place on Wednesday, May 10th, from 6 to 8:30 at Club 101. 101 Park Avenue in New York. We are delighted, and of course, last year, for the last couple of years, you have had tremendous awardees, and we're looking forward very much to this year as well. I will give the information regarding tickets and support, and I'll give that afterwards because I am thrilled, number one, and I want to thank you and the board to be selected in such austere company. Thank
David,
you.
I must interject and say, you know, you're extremely humble. You know, I think you could be literally a monk. And we are delighted to honor you. You have done so much for the Irish diaspora. And hospitality is one of our great, if you like, virtues here at Kyle Moore. And you have been just outstanding. And we are delighted for you, Adrian.
I want to thank you, Sister Magdalena. And there are questions that we have since we started the promotion here of the Spirit of Kyle Moore Awards. A lot of people say, how far ahead is this? When might we see this? When is the anticipated opening?
Yes. It will be most likely Easter, around this time next year, just 1 year.
Oh my God, that's great.
It is moving rather rapidly at the moment, thankfully.
Right. Thank you to you. Thank you to the sisters. And yes, your annual trip here to New York. We absolutely look forward to that. And we know that Mary Reed, who is the director of... She's the director of, I was going to say fundraising, but she is marketing director here, and a good person actually not to give your phone number to because she hounds us morning, noon, and night, but that's a good thing.
She's extremely dedicated, Mary. Mm-hmm.
She is very, very much so, and excited, as we all are, and looking forward to being there for the official opening next Easter. Thank you, sister. Thank you for your time. And
we look forward very much to being with you and to honoring you and for your leadership and your commitment to the new people of the Irish community in New York in particular.
Thank you. Thank you, sister, very much. Okay, I'm still blushing, but maybe, you know, I've come off. It'll pass. Thank you very much, sister. Okay, and good luck again. God bless to all of you.
Thank
you.
Thank you so much.
Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA, irishradio.com worldwide. we'll be back. We'll be back in a couple of minutes to give you the information.
Of the wind or the dark morning wind, angels are calling to watch all thy sleep. Angels are calling to watch all our thee. So list to the wind calling over the sea. Hear the wind blow, Lord, hear the wind blow. Leave your head over and hear the wind blow. The Corrupts have sailing way out in the blue, laden with heavy of silver be blue. Silver the heavy and silver the sea, and soon there be silver for baby and me. Hear the wind blow, Lord, hear the wind blow. Lean your head over and hear the wind blow.
Frank Patterson.
The Corrupts tomorrow will stand on the shore. And Daddy goes sailing, a sailing no more. The nets will be drying, the nets heaven blessed. And safe in my arms, dear, contented you'll rest. Hear the wind blow, Lord, hear the wind.
That's Frank Patterson there with the Connemara Cradle Song. And friends, I did say that I was going to again give you the information. This is a wonderful event that is, you know, coming up on May 10th. To support the sisters and to be a part of, you know, of supporting and having your support for Kylemore Abbey, for the monastery of Kylemore Abbey. You know, this is going to open a year from now, as Sister Magdalena said. It's really, first of all, it's a fantastic place to visit. And one of the top attractions, tourist attractions, in the west of Ireland. It's, you know, Connemara. And if you don't, well then, you know, put it on your list for your next trip to Ireland, which of course, you can get all of that information on Ireland.com. Now, the Irish-American Partnership is based in Boston, and I'd like to give you that website. It's www.irishap.org. www.irishap.org. Or, you know, you can contact Mary Reed here with, you know, if you have any questions or well, and if you don't, she'll have questions for you by the time you get on to her. 914-420-3517 or mary.reed, that's R-E-E-D, at kylemoreabbey.com. Okay, you know, well, we're so far, friends, we have concentrated on Galway song, so why stop now? I want to tell you about the Cladda Ring, and I'm sure that many of you already know the story of the Cladda Ring. As a matter of fact, you might be wearing the Cladda Ring, but maybe to tell us about the old Cladda Ring, we should call on Dermot O'Brien. Here we go.
My grandmother's, she wore it a lifetime and gave it to me all through the long years. She wore it so proudly, it was made wearing a cladda rose down to the sea. What tales it could tell of trials and of hardships and of grand happy days from the whole world could sing. So away with the sorrow, it will bring love tomorrow. Sure everyone loves it, the old Cladda Ring. With the crown and the crest, to remind us of honor and clasping of a heart that God's blessing would bring. The circle of gold, all is kept homes contented with true love entwined in the old Cladda Ring. As she knelt at her prayers and thought of her dear ones, her soft, gentle smile, it would charm a king. On her warm hand, as she told me her story, it would see the bright glint of the old Cladda Ring. It was her gift to me, and it made me so happy. With this on my finger, my heartbeats would ring. No king on his throne could be half so happy as I am when wearing my old Cladda Ring. When the angels above call me up to heaven, in the heart of the Cladda their voices will sing. Sing away with the sorrow, you'll be with us tomorrow. Be sure and bring with you the old Cladda Ring.
On to friends, take you to New York. And if you're coming to New York, if you live in New York or any of the, you know, the tri-state area in particular, then, you know, perhaps you could take in something very inspirational, because if it's inspiration you're looking for, you know, you're going to perhaps enjoy the Irish Repertory Theatre. And, you know, this month, the Irish Repertory Theatre here in New York will present the Letters series. It's inspired by correspondence of fact and fiction that stood the test of time. The Letters series explores the thrill of witnessing great relationships, untold and sometimes shape our history in an age of instant communication. Dear Liar, yes, by Jerome Kilty and George Bernard Shaw, directed by Charlotte Moore, and it's starring the Tony-nominated Melissa Errico and David Stoller. you know, friends, from April 25th to April 30th, the legendary common or correspondence, rather, between George Bernard Shaw and the celebrated actress, Mrs. Patrick Campbell. Jerome Kelty's Dear Liar explores the relationship between these two fiery and fascinating personalities. Now, the location of the Irish Repertory Theatre is 132 West 22nd Street in New York, and you might indeed want to log on to irishrep.org or call 212-727-2737. And again, that Love Letters, directed by Kieran O'Reilly, Matthew Broderick, and Laura Bantani. How about that? Yeah. From May 30th to June 3rd. Anyway, look, if you log on to irishrep.org, you get all that information. And friends, you are indeed listening to the Flannelly Show, and we're coming to you from New York City, where, you know, we can be heard throughout the world, live, or indeed all of our interviews are archived. You'll find that on irishradio.com worldwide. So again, best way to reach us, Aine, A-I-N-E, at irishradio.com. We, friends, again, coming up after the news, which will be coming to us in a couple of minutes, we will be bringing you back to Ballina in County Mayo for an historic address by the President of the United States back in his own home county of Mayo, in particular Ballina. And then, of course, Brian O'Dwyer, who you might suspect wouldn't miss that occasion for anything. So we will link up with Brian O'Dwyer, and Brian is, among other things, probably the best known Irish-American political activist. He's also chairman of the Gaming Commission in New York State. And we're looking forward, and he's a cousin of mine too, so I can't ignore him. We've been linking up with Brian as well. And we'll get, trust me when I tell you, we'll be getting the lowdown there. So again, it's Aine at irishradio.com. If you'd like to send her an email and get any information on anything we do around here, including, of course, the promotion of Kilmore Abbey New Monastery. Aine at Irish Radio. And friends, let's go to Ireland. Let's go to Roundwood in County Wicklow, and our good friend, indeed, newscaster, broadcaster. He's just he's too much, this fella. Okay. And he is author, of course, and our go-to guy for news from Ireland. So let's welcome Kevin O'Connor.